and I spent about 15 seconds to a minute jumping on the spot from the end line to the 50-yard line singing along, and my two arms and two legs going 90. I was high in life, I was high in victory, and I couldn't care what anybody thought, right?
And you were at high in deep heat.
High in deep heat.
Welcome to The Gab, a podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This is episode 15. Thanks for the click and the download. When you get a call from one of the country's most celebrated footballers to ever grace the green carpet to become the new kit man for his team, there really is only one answer. Pádraig Carr answered that call from Pádraig Joyce. Listen as he speaks of his role, training sessions, big match days, and the golden memories. Good afternoon, everybody, and you're very welcome to Slieve Finn. That's where we are today with Pádraig Carr, the kit man with the Galway football GAA crew. And Pádraig is here with me. Thanks a lot for inviting me into the house, Pádraig.
You're very welcome, Ronan. Very welcome to Slieve Finn.
Great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have an old school friend back from many, many years ago, 25 years of stitch.
So absolutely.
It's been a while.
The amount of times that I passed this house and, you kind of go, that's where Pádraig lives, but we don't potter in. But anyway, look, we're in today.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, obviously, we're in the home as well of Damien Comer.
Yeah, Damien's across the field there, actually. Damien spent some of his youth here learning music off me back in the day. Marie would have dropped all the kids down on Saturdays in our Opel Sevira, and they all learned a bit of music off me when they were kids. Now they've gone on to bigger and better things. They're teachers and successful footballers and that kind of thing. So, yeah, they're a great family, great ambassadors for the club and for the area, I suppose. And look, we're very, very proud of them, you know.
We sure are. Now, as I said, I'm here because you're the kit man with the Galway team. How did you acquire that job, or how was that bestowed upon you?
Well, it probably would have been last November, Ronan. I got a random phone call from Pádraig Joyce, the Bonnestore, and he asked me, was I around for a coffee? And I said, sure, look, I am, Pádraig. Give me a shout in about an hour. So I met Pádraig for a coffee. He said, look, he says, we're looking for a kit man. He says, you're the first name that came to my head. How are you fixed? And I was a bit startled at first, I have to admit, sort of saying, is he for real or are you taking that out of me? But anyway, I took a bit of time to digest it. And look, when a guy like Pádraig Joyce asked you to become kitman for a Galway senior football team, it's a no-brainer. I mean, a man who's done it all for schools, colleges, club, country, been there, done that. So look, it was a huge privilege and honour. I couldn't turn it down, albeit I had to talk to my employer and my manager at work, Mr. Mark Lane from Ballandurin. I work with Acorn Life in Galway City there as a financial advisor. So I ran it by him. He says, yeah, you should be fine once you keep your work in tow. So I did the best I could for the 38 weeks. The beauty of being self-employed is that you're flexible, which means you can meet clients when you like to meet them. So that gave me the sort of the avenue or the ability of time to fulfill the demand of being a kit man. But obviously I had to learn the ropes first, you know.
Yeah, well, even before this conversation started at all, you were telling me about the logistics, if you want to call it, behind it. There's a serious amount of work involved. So, Pádraig, for those of us who don't know what is entailed in a kit man's job, right? Because it sounds like a really cool job, to be honest with you. He's the kit man. What is involved in it?
Look, it's a busy role. It's a demanding role.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of preparation in advance. You know, you got to make sure everything is right for the guys because they have standards, you have standards. You want them to be at their best. So in order for them to be at their best, you have to be at your best as well. So look, it starts off with bibs, washing bibs. It starts off with hydration, continues on to footballs. They're properly pumped to ensure that they have food, fruit, vitamins and supplements. And like I suppose our nutritionist, Sinead Bradbury, she's exceptional in her field. She always gives the best advice of what to have. So she's my guiding light. So she tells me to have X, Y, and Z. So these guys have to have all the stuff, Jaffa cakes, Jelly Babies, Nature Valley bars, Lucozade Sport.
Jeez, I want to be in the back of that van.
So, you know, when you throw in food and supplements and bibs, when you throw in jackets, when you throw in wind cheaters, when you throw in tog socks, cum shields, gloves, cogs for boots, laces for boots, tackle bags, tactics boards. What else have we got?
Wow.
Even an A4, an actual board for A4 chart sheets.
Yeah.
Right? All that in, markers, stationery, okay. it's a hell of a lot of work, right?
But you must have had to have, obviously you have a list, you have a kind of a criteria list or...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, starting off, you try to be as best you can, but again, I suppose I was ably assisted, of course, by Jason Dunne, who I give a special mentorship, Paul Burns, and Sinead Bradbury. And then Sean Radigan, who's a great guy, he was our head of logistics, so he guided me along as well to what I needed. So after a while, you develop your own system, Ronan, and you find out what you actually need. And I suppose there's a time efficiency to that too, and a space efficiency in your van. Well, what do I need and what I don't need? So after a while, you find out what players do, like what they want on match day is different to what they want when they're training. Okay,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then I suppose I have to give credit here to Feed the Pulse. They are the catering company in Loch George. Owen and his crew out there, you wouldn't get food
anywhere
in the world.
Wow, okay.
He actually spent time in one of the royal castles in London, as far as I know.
Okay.
And then he worked in McSwiggins, and he worked in Bohermore in Crows.
Yeah.
So Owen is a fantastic chef. All his staff with him, they provided the best of food for the guys afterwards. So now that wasn't my remit. But when you factor it all in, all this stuff had to be in place. So it's a constant, you know, it's like everything else. Have you A, have we B, have we C, have we D? You know, you make an odd mistake post-match.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You might forget some protein milk, right?
Yeah, but...
but it happens.
You'll deal with that.
You'll deal with that.
You can find a bit of Alpro anywhere, really, you know.
But yeah, look, it's... once everything is in order for the guys, that's what you're hoping for, Ronan. That, have I the standards met? Are the players
happy?
Happy.
Yeah.
Okay. If they're not, what can I do to make them happier? Because if they're happier, they're happy, they play better. They play better, they win the matches. So
well, you don't want a Roy Keane or Saipan now or anything like that, you know, kind of running out the gate, divas or anything like that.
You know.
Yeah. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Porrick?
Look at it. Just, I suppose, like everything else, they only become your second family after a while. So look, we had 38 to 40 weeks work over the year, you know, with 100 plus training sessions, weekends away, matches, you know. So look, I just want to, I suppose, thank them publicly. The 18 we had in our backroom team from Porrick, you know, it was right down to the list of names, which I would have given you earlier on in the interview or later, whatever it was. All these guys made a contribution to Galway football for the last sort of 40 weeks that, you know, I saw the coalface deserves a lot of credit. And look at it, you can only... kind of spell sort of good success going down the line. So, you know, without their support and without their work, certainly they made my role much easier, you know. Now there was a couple of hiccups along the way. Cheltenham called.
That happens too.
So when Cheltenham comes, there's a little helper, there's a helper to help me out. When you get a work holiday to Boston, you go on that one too.
Well, you have to. But at the end of the day, as you said before, you know, life still goes on. Life is still trickling along under the bridge.
Yeah.
So you need to obviously adhere to that too.
Yeah. So that's where the trust of the management team comes in. You say, right, I'm gone here for a day or two. I've covered God. So primarily Jason would come and would take my van or whatever it was, and the van would be ready, whatever it is. So I want to thank him publicly. And I know Paul would help out, or Sinead, whatever it was. So look at it. Like everything else, the sum of the pieces all comes together to make a team, and that's what a successful team is, you know. So I want to thank them publicly for what made for me a great experience, you know.
I suppose let's put it this way, when in the off season now, Porrick has a fantastic mobile shop out the back of the van where he'll pretty much sell anything that's there at the moment. No, I'm only joking. There's an awful lot of, well, I presume there's a lot of pressure involved too. And you know, let's put it this way, you're handed pretty much the van to get sorted out and to get kitted out or whatever. What happens in the run-up, say, for instance, to a major game or any game to do with Galway? What's your plan?
Well, I suppose the plan is really it's round-the-clock work, really. I suppose you try to be... training is your first port of call, right? So you train twice a week and the weekend. So you have to ensure that you have an adequate amount of water. Your food and your nutrients are all in tow. So you're liaising with different members of the backroom team as well. But primarily, your job is from week to week to be there for training, probably an hour and a half in advance. Have food for the lads, have water for the lads, have bibs washed, have balls pumped, and basically cones out ready for the guys to come along and conduct the session. So there is a bit of planning in it. The time element, you know, you have to have, I suppose, from a logistical point of view, you have to have things in tow. But with a good backroom team, I suppose it makes life easy. And, you know, thanks to my colleagues, I suppose I'll have to mention them here, Jason Dunne, Sinead Bradbury, Paul Burns, and I suppose the head man himself, Sean Rattigan. He was a great guy that kept me in tow of what I needed week to week. So, you know, from there, it led on to match day. I suppose match day, invariably, I had my baptism of fire in the GA grounds in Beacon. We played Mayo the first Friday night, and it was like a baptism of fire for me. So I had three dressing rooms to coordinate for one team, because just the way the system works. So ironically, it worked fine. And Porrick said to me, well done. You know, I said, if there's one way to learn, that's probably the proper way to learn.
Yeah.
Been thrown at the deep end. But look, on match day, Ronan, you are there early. You meet as a team, and then you break away yourself and you set the dressing room up. And it's timed to a certain time to have it ready. So I could be there for maybe up to maybe two and a half hours before the team come. So that by sort of an hour before the team come, you're nearly looking, waiting for the team to come, make sure everything is in place. So, you know, then you do your checklist, you tick the boxes, have I this, have I that. You get an odd curveball here and there, but in general, your planning starts that week. And then, of course, you have pre-match, you have half-time, you have post-match to tidy up, throw stuff into the van, and then you meet as a kind of group of players for a post-match meal. So there's pre-match, during and after as well. So it is a full-on schedule when you're on, but like everything else, it's preparation is key. And I suppose that's nine-tenths of the law, you know?
But I'd say, to be honest with you, after training sessions during the week and a big match at the weekend, whether it be league or championship or whatever the case may be, I have a funny feeling you'd sleep at night.
You better believe it, Ronan. I tell you one thing. They talk about good stress and bad stress, but definitely there's good stress from an involvement sport. You'd be as tired. I mean, you'd be fit for bed. I mean, I'll give you an example, right? The day we beat Mayo in Castlebar, I wasn't fit to waggle when I came home. I had to come home. I had one drink and I was just... But bear in mind, when you're involved at that level, it's not so much the physical toll, it's the emotional toll on your body. You're kicking every ball, you're wishing the lads on, you're making sure everything's in toast. You're high dough that morning from 8 o'clock, half 7, when you wake up to make sure, right, have I things in place to have the lads at their possible best? And that's, it boils down to you then. Obviously, with the help of all the backroom team, they row in behind you. So you want to have them there so that no worries. Okay, have we this? Have we that? There should be no second thinking. You know, so these lads can go out, they have everything there for them, go out and play to their optimum, perform at their best and win matches. And that's really how we try to aspire to be, you know.
Well, let's be honest. You obviously come from a house as well of Ga, like dual Ga, in the sense that you have the football and you have the hurling down this neck of the woods. So it's not as if you got the kit man job just out of you knowing Porrick. You have a huge, you are immersed pretty much in GAA yourself. So kicking that ball, empathising with those players out on the pitch, it means as much to you as it does to Porrick on the sideline. It is literally a family, a group together, yeah, that are willing on these guys to get to All-Ireland glory.
It
much.
Is, and I mean, it's what we call, and Porrick spoke about the journey at the start of the year. He says, we'll go on this journey, we'll see where it'll take us. There'll be ups, there'll be downs, there'll be ins, there'll be outs. But you know what? There's a panel of 40 players there, plus a backroom of 18, and we're like one big happy family. So that we set sail every single week. Let it be challenge, league, championship, training weekends away. The one thing I would say is, you know, and I have to credit these guys where they come from. I mean, these are young lads, students, working. They have other lives. They have families. They have boyfriends. They have girlfriends, whatever the case may be. They have relationships. But they put their life on the line for the sake of the Galway Crest. And from my experience over 40-odd weeks, I can safely say those guys deserve a hell of a lot of credit for what they bring to the jersey. I mean, we're blessed in Galway, we're competitive every year, we're at the top table. You think of other counties who put in the same effort. So for Galway as a county, it's just, it's something for the last 40 weeks gave me a sort of a true reflection of what they really do. And I'd be very fast to criticise anyone who wears a Galway jersey ever again, because really and truly, what they put themselves through, albeit to wear the Galway jersey, is quite phenomenal, you know.
But I suppose physically, mentally, emotionally, the whole lot. Like when you're in a cauldron, let's be honest with you, that's exactly what Croke Park is. It's a cauldron. It's people chanting, whether they be chanting positively or negatively towards you. It is a huge mind game. It's very difficult to be there. And obviously you have the post-match analysis where it doesn't always go your way either. So these guys have to deal with that and absorb all this information too. So apart from the physical side of it, it's difficult.
Yeah, I suppose they're all involved in social media today. And I suppose, you know, looking on there, there's keyboard warriors there that say this and that. But players are players and they're professional in their own right. Yeah. And they know what they have to do at the end of the day. So, you know, Galway, I suppose what we try to say to them, look, be yourself, you know, be the best you can be. And I suppose by being the best they can be, they avoid all those negative vices. But sure, Croke Park itself, you've been there, Ron, as a spectator. Mm. I suppose I stood on the sad four times this year, a league final, quarter final, semi final, final. And I have to say, it is spine tingling to walk out on that pitch, to hear the song to the crowd, our Tame Boys band. It is mind blowing. And I mean, I don't care who you are, we're all human at the end of the day, but I tell you, it takes a fair person to put on a jersey and play in Croke Park.
It really, really does. And I have to say, didn't they do a wonderful job, in all fairness, right up to 63, 64 minutes and even beyond. We thought we were there.
We did. And look, at small things, but you know, at the start of the year, you know, there was objectives and they wanted to get back to Division 1, which they achieved. They wanted to win FPD, which they achieved. They won a Connacht Championship, which they achieved. All of a sudden, we're in a quarter-final. I suppose the Armagh thing took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
You know, the Derry game was another kind of whirlwind. I think next thing you're in a final against Kerry, you know. Now, the season is so condensed. You know, the month of July, I have to say, was pretty full-on. From the minute the final whistle went against Derry, it was the maddest 2 weeks of my life. But I had the luxury actually of getting away to America in between all that, but thanks to Porrick, he gave me the chance to get away on an actual work trip, I won't lie. But yeah, look, it's there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. When you see a team go out on the pitch, you know, you have your strength and conditioning coaches, you have your sports nutritionists, you have your management, you have your selectors, you've everything else. You've, you know, the whole statistics side of it, you know. There's a team of 18 there, like, and I could name them here for you if you want, but, you know, able-bodied by Park, of course, but they all have their own role to play, and it's like a jigsaw. So the dressing room becomes like a... The dressing room can be anything. It can be tactics boards, it can be Jaffa cakes, it can be fruit, it can be water, it can be protein milk, jerseys.
It's like downtown Manhattan any particular day. It's just absolutely congested with information.
So what you have to ensure is, you have to ensure it's the most calmest place it can be pre-match, right? Yeah. Half-time, definitely. And then post-match, you win, it takes on a life of its own. Because all that feeds into the players. I suppose the more relaxed players are, you know, players need to have the best that they can have. And look, at as a kit man myself and ably led by my management team all there, we all try to, you know, install that for make sure they had their own environment that was going to be, that they all played at their optimum. And that's really what you hope for, Ron, because
absolutely.
It's quite a puzzle.
It is a puzzle, but look, it's a puzzle that, you know, if it comes to All-Ireland time, which we were up there, and, you know, the magic of it all, it really was worthwhile, the 38 weeks or 40 weeks of hard labour, and we travelling the country with them as well on top of it all. But as Brian Cody said along the line, and I've been at a few motivational speeches that Brian Cody was doing, he said, you are what you surround yourself with. And I think that's the one thing about the Galway team this year. And you're a part of this, that, you know, when you surround yourselves with people that have, I suppose, a very positive outlook and always there to help. And it's like anything. It's like a house. If the house has a good foundation, it's easy to build the blocks. And you've been there on the sideline yourself, Porrick and all the crew as well, conditioning and everybody else in the advisory role and scan and everybody else. That all helps towards the end goal. So I think you should give yourself a bit of a pat on the back and with the amount of work that you've put in on that as well. Now, obviously, you took over this role in the height of a world pandemic, pretty much, which was also another stipulation that you had to deal with in the middle of it all. Let's call a spade here, in the sense that the three dressing rooms that you were speaking about earlier, whether that was to do with COVID or not is another day's work. But how did you find that challenge on top of the baptism of fire? Was it difficult?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, water is a vital thing when you go training, right? So I actually brought in a system that we'd have our own water, our own bottles, okay? So we'd maximise what we had and minimise wastage, okay? Yeah. But like, I suppose when I came into the role, the COVID was starting to slip away. Kind of, it was still there, obviously, but it wasn't as prevalent. But I instilled kind of a system there whereby we had 35 or 40 bottles pitch side. Every guy knew where to go to. There were names on them. So they all had their own individual bottles. So from that point of view, it wasn't a great issue for me.
Okay, good.
I saw it as kind of, you know, it was really relevant that I did that because I just, you know, you can waste water there. You know, I can imagine during COVID times, water might have been sort of put to one side, you know, a half-used bottle, whatever the case. So water was my first thing to try and kind of instill. But thank God the system worked brilliantly. The lads bought into it, management too, and it was very efficient. It ran well. So we had no COVID outbreak. And thanks to our doctor, Enda Devitt, he made sure lads were on their toes, that we, you know, if there ever was a surge or whatever the case may be, I suppose players were aware of that, you know. So there's a bit of self-management there too. When players knew where the water was, how it worked, you expected that they would abide by that. And to be honest with you, everyone did. So we had no case, touch wood, of any COVID during the year internally that affected our team or affected our performance, which is great. So, yeah, that was kind of it.
Fantastic. Now, the responsibility, obviously, of being at a particular place at a particular time to be there early before the team and you to be prepped, because if you fail to prepare, you know, the usual yourself. What was it like? Obviously, you were going to places that everybody else was going to at a time, whether it be down in Mayo or whether it be here in Galway in Pier Stadium or wherever, or Beacon, where the lads were going. Was it difficult to get into grounds at particular times? You were driving the van. You had the sole responsibility of carrying everything that these guys needed on a particular day. Did you feel that pressure at any stage?
You definitely feel the pressure, I suppose, on kind of big match day. I suppose the Croke Park outings, with the crowd and with the Gardaí, you know, you're dealing with more traffic, you know. National League games, not so much, because it wouldn't be as heavily attended. So now, the trips took us to Derry, took us to Down, took us to Cork. But again, they ran fairly smoothly. But when you go to Dublin, it's a different animal. So we stayed in a nearby hotel, and it was about 20 minutes from Croke Park. So we always made sure that we were there in kind of proper time. But, you know, you get obstacles along the way. You always do. You're always worried about maybe a guard might say to X, Y, or Z. But once you do it once, you can kind of do it. You kind of repeat the process after a while. You know?
And I suppose the other thing about it as well is that the Gardaí get to know you as well. As in, you've travelled the length and breadth of this country with the team.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd like to travel anyway. I know you're a big man for travelling to a horse race and meeting someplace or whatever along the line. So travelling wouldn't be an issue. Would you, obviously, on being Saturdays and Sundays and everything else, would you get to know the guards around the area? Or would it be different divisions and different times, or what's going on?
It's funny, I suppose. Rural towns are fine, but big cities, there's different stations assigned. So, when you go to Croke Park on big match day, you could have anyone really, to fair. So you're not really the most important person in some respects, although you want to be. But look, there was a few hiccups along the way, you know, but we got there eventually. But once you have a system in place, Ronan, you nearly have to give yourself an extra half an hour in Dublin or an hour in Dublin, because traffic and crashes and M50s and all that kind of stuff, crowds, it throws a lot of variables at you. So you need to be prepared for that. That you have the extra vacuum of time there to avail of. So, to answer your question, no, but maybe in towns like Castlebar, where I might like to see you coming anyway. But
that's because we're going to win the Connacht title.
Exactly,
that's the reason why.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, on another level, then obviously the engine that is, say for instance, the Galway team and management and everything else. No, I'm not going to ask you any personal questions on it, but I presume that it's very inspirational to be in the dressing room when Pádraig Joyce is making a speech before a game at halftime, and at the end, hopefully all going well if we won the match. I'd say it's a really inspirational place to be.
Oh yeah, like you try to kind of detach yourself from all that to a degree, because everyone has their own role, I suppose, you know. So, you know, there were times I found myself there, albeit it might be post-match, you know, but generally when management are talking, doing their own things, you tend to kind of steer clear of it. You let management take care of their responsibilities, and if you're called on, you go in, of course. So, look, when a guy like Pádraig Joyce speaks in the dressing room, let it be pre-match, post-match, or otherwise, you know, it is inspirational, you know, and along with, of course, Keane O'Neill, you know, John Dively, John Concannon, you know, when they all speak, they all have a message for their players. So it's going to inspire these guys who are going out to kind of play for their county. But as a kind of kit man, you need to, well, I think anyway, from my own personal experience, to kind of detach yourself from all that and say, right, I have a role here to do. As much as I'd love to be in there, I let that to themselves. If they want me, they bring me in. So, in other words, you're trying to be professional, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really you're trying to be. You're trying to have the best possible standards. You know, the kit man, does he have to talk? Not really. If they win, he sings a song or he dances the jig or whatever it is. But until that, you kind of hand it over to Pádraig and the lads. So, being professional and being competent in what you do yourself is important, and avoid that. Now, initially, you kind of say, you know, it's nice to hear what's going on, but after a while, you kind of say, right, you know what, leave that to the lads, I'll do my job. And, you know, then post-match, of course, you're all in there. So, like, you win a Connacht final, there's major elation, you know.
Yeah.
Post-match, you hear it all. You beat Armagh, there's elation. You beat Derry, there's elation. You get promoted to Division 1, there's, you know, you win an FPD, you know, that's where you get the best of it, like, you know. So, but like, you'd see a lot of the tactical stuff going on during training, and I suppose as a GAA follower myself, now albeit with systems and tactics, it does blow your mind a bit at times, but you see how management try to instill, I suppose, game plans and how they want to play, and it's all drawn onto boards and tactics boards, and there's systems and there's shapes and there's blankets and there's there's all kind of stuff, you know. So like, it's, I always say, like, Jimmy McGuinness changed the face of all of football football 10 years ago when they bet Mayo in that Ireland final. I think everyone's trying to copy it since. So look, that's only part of it, but yeah, look at it, when you're a kit man, you have a job to do, and that's your job.
Yeah, I suppose the other thing about it is, I have to say, Pádraig has definitely brought a very exciting style of football back that I see a lot from 98 and 2001. You can see a lot of direct football too, even apart from the whole idea of having to create the blankets and back and over on the pitch like a game of basketball at times. He does create a really positive moving forward force, and it was you know, we spotted it obviously with the Derry match and the Armagh match, and obviously the All-Ireland final too, but it is very, very exciting, I have to say. Now obviously you spoke about the elation of being on the pitch and all that, and I would have seen you on TV for matches that I wasn't able to go to, you know, and you'd be out there and you'd be tapping the lads on the back and, well done lads, you know, it was great to see it. It really was that again, the family, as you call it, are all together. Tell me about, obviously, after the All-Ireland final this year, I presume there was a lot of, you know, upset and it was nearly there. What if, what might be? What was the feeling in the camp? Because it should have been proud, because it was a really proud year.
Yeah, look, anytime you lose a final of any description, let it be a county final or a school's final, it doesn't matter. There's going to be disappointment. But at that level, you know, you come in and players are crestfallen. Of course they are. They're within minutes of winning the All-Ireland final, you know. So, look, at to come from where we came from, I suppose, you know, to make it, to make the last two, players were, you know, initially very disappointed, but it's a month on now from when it happened, so there's a certain degree of pride back in the jersey, you know. And you kind of spoke about Pádraig's way of playing football, and look at, he was a purist himself, and
yeah, absolutely,
Galway won two All-Irelands playing that way, so I think players can take a great sense of satisfaction from the year. I mean, the journey that we started back last January or November, we'll call it, when they're back doing weights, it was some journey. I mean, it was around the country and a lot of mileage, and but, you know, to come as far as we did. But, you know, the great thing, Ronan, that I saw was the feel-good factory in Galway this summer, that people got behind you. It was the talk on the street. It was the sense of community, you know, and you saw the flags going up. And it really, you know, I was, 22 when they last won the Sam Maguire, 2001. And you're young enough to appreciate it, but when you're that bit older, you can see what it does, you know. You see the kids coming along, and like, I learned the final day run, I would safely say Galway outnumbered Kerry 3-1. And you could see that. I was out initially before the teams, and I looked around me and I said, wow. I said,
it was phenomenal. It really was.
It really was, you know. And you have to pinch yourself. You have to say, Pádraig Joyce has given me this privilege to be a kit man, and we've got to an All-Ireland final. I mean, you talk about highs and lows in life. Money couldn't buy it. Yeah. Nothing can buy that feeling, right? Albeit you lose. So, look, the players themselves, they were devastated, as you would be. And they would be, you know, I suppose, the only thing that race weeks look forward to.
Yeah, and they did.
Right?
And they had a great time.
So, and so that was the only good thing, right? They could come back to the races and look at the few days of the races. And then they went off on holidays. So, you know, when you factor it all in, look, a massive sense of pride back in the jersey, gutted as they would be. But look, the future is very promising.
Now, Pádraig, obviously, you know, you went away, you gathered your thoughts, you had the night out after the All-Ireland, as tough as it could be at times or whatever. But the coming home, I think, this year was very, very special. Because you obviously, there was a real avjocon, a real revival pretty much of the county. That Galway brought us to Croke Park, to an All-Ireland final. It gave a real rejuvenation to Galway, because of, we had a tough 2 years with COVID and all that kind of an idea, and what it did for Galway football was phenomenal. So everybody was out in their droves, pretty much, to welcome the lads home. You were there in the middle of it all. There was buses left, right, centre, above you, below you, and everything, and I could spot you in the middle of it all. What was it like driving down from Dublin, probably getting to Athlone, where it got kind of real? And you were kind of coming into the west of Ireland.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Look, you know, we started off that probably midday. We're probably an hour behind schedule, let's face it. But anyway, it's very hard to get lads out in time, young lads especially. I was ready to go. So there was two buses. There was buses, a bus for the team, a bus for the girlfriends, and there was Pádraig car in the middle with me mother. I brought Sarah car with me as well.
Oh, very good. Right? Well, good on you, mammy.
So she, being a Killarney woman, would be awfully proud to be going into where we were going. But anyway, yeah, that's another day's work. But anyway, we hit for down west. Got into Athlone, started mode, and next thing we realised we were getting a Garda escort.
Excellent.
So we got a Garda escort all the way into Athlone onto Ballinasloe, right? Came into Ballinasloe, you talk about the bonfires, in, I think it's only a West of Ireland thing, because win, lose or draw, wedding, whatever it is, people always have bonfires. And my God, it started in Ballinasloe, the crowds were there, we had a reception there from the town council, the speeches are made and people are so enthusiastic. And then the players, I suppose the players there, the Shane Walshes, Damien Comers, the McDades, they're the guys that want, they want the autographs for the selfies. And you just sit back and you say, wow, this is what it means to call it people. Kids from 3 and 4 up to...
Yeah.
They, so it started there, I suppose. Back into the bus and back into my van. Next stop was between Mylaw, it was Mylaw, Mount Bellew. Again, bonfires galore, smoke, Ballygar. Just phenomenal. You see these old people out, young people out, people with a small little fire and waving a flag. They could be living on their own, you know. But you saw what it represents. And it's more than just a game of football running. You're representing the community. It's a whole cultural thing in Ireland, you know, that we all get behind the county team. But to see that sort of, those images coming home, the bonfires blazing. We had no silverware, but you know what? It would lift your heart. You know, came in then to Killarney, and of course, the home of Pádraig Joyce, and it was like a, you know, it was great. It was like, you know, massive crowd, bonfires galore, going into the Red Gap. Sean Mulkern sang Grace. I'm sure Sean is a great singer, like, as you know, from his days in the talent show. And so, really and truly, you know, on into Tuam, more bonfires, up onto stages, more speeches, just a great sense of. There was a sense of achievement run, I suppose. And it, I mean, let's face it, it was an achievement, you know, to get down to the last two and to be within 2 or 3 minutes of an All-Ireland final winning appearance, you know, was a great feat. So these players deserved it all, you know. But I'd say, from my own personal point of view, it lifted my heart. And I'd say the players found the same. On into Pierce Stadium. Now, we had to deal with the Gawler races, so we couldn't go via where we would have liked to have gone because of traffic. So we went motorway all the way in. I had the hazards on full blown, the lights were on, and into Pure Stadium. I'm sure then it all starts off in Pure Stadium, you know. So then it was just great. It was really was uplifting. It was heartwarming. It was what you want to get when you're beaten in Ireland final, you know, to see the pride in people's faces. Okay, we were beaten, but they were damn proud that we did it as well as we could, you know.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, what the Galway football team and backroom team did for Galway, I think people wanted to say thank you back. And in all fairness, you know, it was a celebration to get to All-Ireland Final Day. Let's be honest with you, the top two teams in the country, you know, and only literally a kick of the ball pretty much in it at the end. I think people genuinely felt, let's go out, let's support these guys. Because let's put it this way, we all feel that there's an All-Ireland in them anyway. That these guys could be out again next year and we could be in the very same position and hopefully come home with silverware. Next year. But I think genuinely the people wanted to say thank you for a year of escapism as well from the reality and the inevitability of a pandemic.
That's so true. You see, people hadn't been to matches for maybe 2 years, but
you
talk about people. I mean, these guys come from clubs and communities and families, and they're the star in their area. So, you know, they come from very humble abodes to being national superstars in a unprofessional environment where you see the guys in other sports getting paid. These guys are doing this as a hobby, you know, and yet the level of commitment they put in, you think they were fully professional. So these guys all come from clubs around the county, okay? They're stars. Then they put on the Galway jersey and they become superstars, right?
Absolutely, Marvel superheroes.
So these guys come all the way home to where they're from and they're applauded, and rightly so, you know, because they do that. You know, but they will always credit where they came from, and they should. And they talk about things about being humble, but, you know, these guys are all humble guys. They're, you know, the humility is right throughout that panel. You know, they know where they came from, they know their clubs, and that's why the sense of community on the homecoming was great to see. The family coming together. The journey had finished. The voyage was over for 2022. But you know what? The sense of anticipation to next year was at the back of our minds, you know.
Well, let's put it this way, an awful lot of them are back into club action now already anyway. And it was lovely, actually. We were only looking at it on social media during the week to see Galway footballers, obviously, you know, they're worked together and worked together over the last couple of months to win an All-Ireland. We're up against each other on the pitch over the last couple of weeks. It's mad to see it, isn't it?
That's what happens.
Lived out of each other's pockets for such a length of time. Then all of a sudden, you know, competitive against each other again. Yeah.
But you know what? The only place to try and get over it is to go back onto the pitch. And
yeah,
that's why they have their clubs to go back to, which is great. So look, the year has been long going, long run. You know, where are we at? The month of August now. Look at, we're a month out from Ireland final. And look at, these guys will be going back to college, going back to work and school and bits and pieces. And all of a sudden, you know, the preseason starts again, November, whatever, December, they're back on the pitch. Then there's National League ahead next year. It's a whole new season. It never ends, you know, but it's great to have clubs to go back to, because the club is where these guys all started. And when you see them going up head to head, I mean, these guys are best of friends for, you know, let's say 40 weeks of the year, and now they're going hammer and tongs. So all for their club.
Exactly.
You know.
Did you get the nod for Pádraig for the upcoming season? Are you reinstated?
Well, I haven't heard from Pádraig since, would you believe? Other than I told him I was doing this podcast with your good self. So I expect in the next couple of weeks, they'll be coming together. Let it be by WhatsApp. We'll probably have a meeting, I'd say, of management and team, and see where we're going. But look, I'm available if Pádraig is there and if Pádraig wants me, you know.
Absolutely. And it's not a baptism of fire this time. You are a well-grounded, smooth individual at this stage who knows the game inside out. Now, the van that you were driving around was a lovely piece of kit, very well kitted out, obviously, I presume, for the job at hand. And
whose was the van? You know, I picked it up actually off Mary Judge last winter at Donner House in Carlisstrand. I suppose it was my responsibility to keep it washed and upkeep. But I suppose we have to credit Western Motors for their sponsorship of this van. I mean, it's a fine, spacious van, albeit when it's full, it's really full. Those training weekends can be demanding on it, to say the least. But, you know, it never let me down all year. A couple of scares here and there, but you look at it's NCT ready to go for next year, so we'll see where it takes us. I don't think the mileage is too much next year, because we're playing Division 1 teams. There's a couple of away trips to down the south, and maybe Oma, maybe Clonus, I think. So we'll see where it takes us. Look, we'll credit to and thanks to Western Motors for their sponsorship of the kit van. It's greatly appreciated. And I suppose it'd be remiss not to mention Tex Callaghan, my hurling guru friend, who I picked up a couple of tips off. Tex was good to me. Initially, when I started off, I asked him, what do you do, X, Y, and Z, and what's the best method or process of doing this? And he guided me along. So it just meant I was maximizing my time and minimizing sort of something else.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it was good to have an expertise, you know, along with all the rest of the management team, which I might
give them a shout. Why
look
not?
At this, there was 18 of us when we start. I suppose we've Pádraig as manager, Pádraig Joyce, we've John Quincannon, John Dively, Ifonia Walsh and Cora Joyce, they were our physios. We had Keane Brannock doing the strength and conditioning along with Jonathan Harris-Wright. Keane O'Neill, of course, a massive, massive addition to the Galway setup this year. Dr. Enda Devitt, Micheál O'Donnell, Noel Connolly, Pat Comer, Sean Radigan, and then not forgetting Paul Byrne, Shane Bradbury and Jason Dunhill. They all, I suppose, contributed to what was a great, great year. And it's like, you know, a team is a sum of its pieces. And those 18 people all contributed to the success story that was Galway football in 2022. And I hope I didn't mention them out of order, but I hope I mentioned them all there.
You left one out, though. Paul Ricard.
Myself.
Of it all. You left yourself out of it. And fair play to you as well in all that. now, it was a... What was your biggest memory of the year? I have a funny feeling I know where you're going to go with this, but what was the biggest... What's the one thing that you wake up in the morning smiling about?
I have to say, you know, and I'll bring this to my grave, whenever that is, in 50 or 60 years' time, but I think post the Armagh match, when the final penalty was taken.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Damien Lawler from RT about this, and he said, you'll never forget this day. I said, I won't. But there was a section of the Galway crowd in the lower Hogan towards the Hill 60 or the canal inside. There was maybe three sections or four sections, and the Saw Doctor started playing. And I said, right, I'm going over here and I'm going to revel up this crowd. And I spent about 50 seconds to a minute jumping on the spot from the end line to the 50-yard line, singing along, and my two arms and two legs going 90. I was high in life, I was high in victory, and I couldn't care what anybody thought, right?
And you were at high in deep heat.
High in deep heat. So needless to say, that was a memory I'll never forget. I'll never forget the penalty shootout. I'll never forget the feeling after beating Mayo when I came out of the McHale Park and I gave the horn of the Jeep or the van a big little beep, a big beep, and those crowds of Mayo people looking, going, people going town, and just the sense of, you know, into Sheridan's and Milltown, the excitement, winning the Connacht final, the excitement brought to Galway. I brought the cup in the van and I had Damien Liam Silk beside me and I had one hand out the... I had the cup in one hand and driving the van with the other hand down the prom. Didn't care. You know, I said, this day might never come again. So lots of great times, Ronan. Met the best of people, treated very, very well. And may I thank the Galway County Board and thank Supermax along with all our sponsors. You know, they make it what it is too, you know, along with the contribution to the clubs, I suppose, and those fundraising nights, you know, along with being a physical effort, there's a monetary element to it too. So we have to thank those people too.
That, of course, yeah.
The people who dipped into their pockets and bought tables and sponsored the Galway, you know, and look at it was a great journey, a super journey. Would I do it all again? Yes, I would. Can we do it all again? Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Can we win the Ireland?
It's Fader Lynn.
It's Fader Lynn.
It's Fader Lynn all the way home. Now, the great thing about it is you learned a very, very important thing as well in the middle of all of this, and I'm sure your mother's delighted about it. You became very good with a washing machine because you were washing jerseys for a while yourself along the line. So you thought it was only kitting out the van and making sure that the products were in place and all that, but you knew how to turn the dial on a washing machine after a while as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's amazing when you're given the job of kitman, you have to learn. No, I could always wash clothes.
Good lad.
Right? I could always use the dishwasher. Yeah. So I had to use the what we have in Loch George originally, I suppose. And look at then, I suppose, Tex advised me. He says, why don't you go to Keady's in Clare Galway? So I developed a great rapport with Keady's all year. And thanks to them as well for washing all the jerseys. And of course, I couldn't... Aoife was very good to me in Loch George, Aoife O'Connell. She's the head girl over there. She's the administrator of the centre. So she guided me along. So when you factor it all in, look, it was like everything else. It came for a finish from a time perspective. I used to get them washed because washing them, Ronan, probably involved an extra hour or 2 hours work in your day by the time you dry them. So it just made sense to throw them in. And thanks to Keady's for having it whenever I wanted them, they had them. So yeah. I got a big plug to Keady's and Clare Galway. Thanks a million.
Stuff. And I suppose it saved a couple of fans, Galway fans, coming stealing them off your line out here in Slieve Finn as well. You had to put, I never seen padlocks on shorts in my life until I seen them in Slieve Finn. But no, look at Porrick, I just want to say a huge thanks for taking the time to have a chat and letting us know what happens within the engine of the Galway GAA. The football side of the GAA and Tex obviously involved in the hurling side of it or whatever the case may be. Thanks a lot for taking the time. I do wish you the best, and I'm sure everybody that's going to be listening to this podcast will be wishing you the best for the future. They know it's bright and they know that we have some serious operators coming along. Let's call a spade, even the minor, the year that we had with the minor. It was phenomenal. And today we've heard of a lot of the lads that won Players of the Year and stuff like that, Mr. Farthing and everything else, that they're wonderful. So the future of Galway football is bright, Porrick.
Oh, Galway GAA, full stop. Hurling, football, men's, ladies, it doesn't matter. Galway is a product that we should all be very proud of. And again, it comes from our clubs, you know. You know, we're always at the top table. We mightn't necessarily win, but we're always there in semi-finals or finals. But look, there's great work being done in schools, clubs. And as a product, as an organisation and as a community, Galway should be very proud of what they achieve year in, year out. You might necessarily have silverware, but when you're competitive,
yeah,
at least you have a chance. And look, at credit goes to all the guys who do the work, from the under six coaches right up to the senior management teams. It all buys into the one thing, and that's success for Galway, and that's what we want at the end of the day, isn't it?
And for the rest of us that are over 40, we might play the over 40s league as well, Porrick. So look, we're at that stage.
I'm not too bad. I retired when I was 22.
but you went out a winner, and that's the key to it all. So look, thanks a million to yourselves, and thanks a million for the year. We had a wonderful year, very, very special year. Even working in the radio station this year, there was a great buzz. Everything from league up to obviously FBD, right up to championship. It was just a phenomenal year. And I think the one thing that kind of sticks out in my mind as well, and you being a proud and a down man over here, you know, Damien scoring that goal you know, in the Derry game, there was it was just magic. It was Roy of the Rovers esque. Wasn't it?
Yeah, the minute he hit it, like, it was like bang, goal. But he actually came off then for a finish.
Yeah.
I made a beeline to him. I think people caught on the Sunday game and took a snap of it. I don't know, but I gave him an old hug and said, fair play to you all stock. And I handed him a bottle of water. I said, go man, that's one for the parish. Yeah.
A bottle of holy water for the parish.
So look, it was great. And look, yeah, great representation for my own club here in Annadown. And look at, I'm still a proud member of Annadown GA Club wherever I go. So we'll always carry that up for the match with Marty Morrissey here in the local area, and that was great.
And Mary Prendergast, you have to mention Mary as well. She sang her heart out that night.
Did, yeah. So, you know what it was? It was a great celebration, and it's a positive thing, you know. Yeah. And look, at it's great for a community, and everyone bought into it. You know, you mightn't have success in terms of silver, but what, look at the flags, look at the, you know, the people want to be the new Damien Comer, Shane Walsh's, McDade's. Yeah. So that's what it creates, the next generation, you know. That, you know, what was gone is gone, and now you just move on, and you just hope that that'll kind of manifest itself into future success. But look, at going back to your minor, the success of the minors were phenomenal, like, they really were. And I would have met Alan Glynn in Loch George on those cold winter nights back in November, December, when he was picking panels. And, you know, it's a far cry from a find in the Hyde Park. But, you know, something that you don't see, I suppose, Ron, and I probably forgot to mention it, are those long, dark nights where it makes rain. And I can still remember the first challenge game against GMIT, and I'm not joking yet. It might have been a monsoon.
Yeah.
You know, so jumping over walls with cows, competing with cows for footballs, and coming back and losing footballs, counting footballs.
Yeah. Little did the cows realise that they were eating leather themselves, but anyway.
And turning off lights, and, you know, and you're soaked wet, coming home here at 10 o'clock then having a hot shower, and, you know, but it was, there was something about it. It was something I love to do. And it's only part of the story, but you know what? You just see where the work's been done. And that's where supporters should always remember that these guys put in a Trojan amount of effort. Rain, hail, or snow, as Michael Allen said one time. Yeah. They really do. It's all seasons. And that's what they earn their meat like.
But you could see that on A Year Till Sunday as well, with John O'Mahony and the crew. And as you said, Michael with his snow. You know, it's amazing to see these guys face down in the gutter, you know, trying to get that last press up in or push up in or whatever the case may be. It is literally just, it's mind-boggling.
Oh, I'm telling you now.
All they can see is Sam in their heads.
That's what they have to see, you know. And you just say, well, what are they working towards? You know, there was a date in our head all year, and it was the Mayo game.
Yeah.
It was April 20th, whatever it was, 6th, you know, and, you know, we got a promotion, but all those hard nights, and I took it for granted to an extent, but I saw what those guys put in, and I will always say, hand in heart, that whatever they get, they do deserve.
You deserve it.
Yeah. Absolutely do.
Absolutely. Look, Porrick, thanks a million for the time. I wanted to have a chat with you because I just wanted to see your perspective of what made you tick in the middle of it all, and we got it, and we got it in abundance. So thanks a million. Thanks for all you did all year. And we look forward to a bright 2023.
You're so welcome. Thank you very much.
Sam's coming home.
Please God. Slán.